Southern Illinois Healthcare and our facilities, Memorial Hospital of Carbondale, Heron Hospital, and St. Joseph Memorial Hospital, are proud to bring you Radio SIH. Here's Deborah Howell.
Well, hello and welcome to the show. You're listening to Radio SIH, brought to you by Southern Illinois Healthcare. I'm Deborah Howell, and today our guest is Dr. Aned Salem, a family physician practicing in Carbondale and Heron, Illinois, and specializing in treating and prevention of diabetes. Today we're going to talk a little bit about the evil culprit that hides behind the scenes but causes major havoc, diabetes. Welcome, Dr. Salem.
Thank you very much, Deborah. I appreciate you having me.
It's our pleasure. Now, my first question to you is this. Why is diabetes such a sneaky, doggone disease?
Well, for first thing, over the last few years, the definition of type 2 diabetes has been a moving target. A long time ago, a person's blood sugar was 200. We consider that to be diabetes. The current standards say that a fasting blood sugar of 126 is diabetes, but we see problems with patients who have diabetes at lower blood sugars. So, unfortunately, diabetes creeps up on patients as well as the way it impacts their lives slowly creeps up on the population.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Is it true that diabetes can actually cause strokes and heart attacks?
Yes. The number one cause of death in patients with diabetes is a vascular disease or vascular complications. That's stroke and heart attack. We divide the diabetes complications into two groups. One is macrovascular, which means the large blood vessels. This is the carotid arteries and the arteries that go to the brain, which cause stroke. And the other one are the coronary arteries, the arteries that go around the heart and give circulation to the heart. When somebody has macrovascular disease, they're at high risk for stroke and heart attack. The other side effects from diabetes are microvascular. That's the small blood vessels. That's the eyes. The blood vessels in the backs of the eyes start leaking or bleeding. Or the kidney disease, the glomerula, which is the main organ of the kidneys, start losing protein or become inflamed, even when they have difficulty with peripheral circulation. That's the small blood vessels of the legs. This is also a vascular issue. In essence, diabetes is not just a blood sugar disease, it's a blood vessel disease.
Okay. All right. That makes it clear why it affects so much of the body. Now, I've heard an alarming statistic that 65% of the people in the hospital have diabetes listed as a secondary disease during their visit. Is this really true?
Yes. It's true. It has to do with the population at large. Some states and some geographic areas have more diabetes than other geographic areas, but a large number of patients who are in the hospital have diabetes as a second diagnosis, and a diabetic patient tends to stay longer in the hospital because of difficulty with healing, because of a poor immune system, mm-hmm. because of decreased wound healing. So, yes, there's an alarming amount of diabetic patients in the hospitals.
65%, that's just incredible. So how can we prevent diabetes?
Now, the prevention of diabetes, if you watch TV in the middle of the night, you'll hear people telling you about diabetes. Every time you pick up a magazine, you'll hear somebody telling you about prevention of diabetes. The approach to preventing diabetes has to be from two different standpoints. One is the individual, and the other is the individual's environment.
Mm-hmm.
We know that active, fit, thin people are less likely to develop diabetes than obese people and people who are not active, who are not exercising.
Right.
We know that people who eat a high-fat diet, not just a high sugar, but a high fat diet, are at higher risk for diabetes than people who eat a leaner diet. And it's not just the type of fat. We know that people who consume a lot of vegetable fat, meaning olive oil and nuts, are less likely to develop diabetes than people who consume the same amount of fat from animal sources, beef, pork, etc.
Okay. All right.
So being active is very important. The other is there are medications that can help if a patient is at risk for diabetes. And the way you test to see whether you're at risk is basically if you're obese and sedentary and an American, you're at risk for diabetes. And there are some other subtle ways to predict whether somebody has diabetes based on simple blood tests and a blood pressure measurement, etc. We have medicines that can help prevent the progression of diabetes, but when you compare those to people who follow the lifestyle that leads to prevention of diabetes, the medicines compare or even are inferior to proper diet and exercise.
Okay, that's all about managing diabetes. Proper diet, exercise, get yourself screened. Anything else you can think of?
The most important issue is if a patient develops diabetes, to actively become your own advocate.
Okay.
You make choices based on, actually a patient of mine the other day told me, I was cajoling him into changing some of his habits, and he says, well, I have a routine, doc. And I said, So tell me about your routine. And it was a bad routine. And he looked up and he says, it doesn't matter. He says, you either have a good routine or a bad routine. Everybody has a routine, so I'm going to change my routine. So a lot of it has to do, the patients, or we as citizens, have to become our own advocates. We have to work on making choices for ourselves. And then when you're in the doctor's office, you say, how can I be healthier? Tell me what it takes for me to be healthier.
Right. Right. Because otherwise you're looking at things down the line like losing a limb. Why do people with diabetes sometimes have to lose a limb?
That is the last thing. And that is the, for me as a physician, when somebody has amputation, it's a failure on our part as healthcare providers and failure on the patient's part. We talked about peripheral vascular disease. That's poor circulation. The circulation to the limb becomes occluded with cholesterol and calcium and plaque, but it also kills the nerve. So the patient can't regenerate or recover from the stresses of daily activity, nor do they have the circulation that helps them recover. So they end up either getting infection or breakdown of tissue, and as a last resort, to have amputation. We know that can be prevented. And the way it's prevented is by controlling sugar and being active. And also making sure that if a patient does have diabetes, that we teach the patient to check their feet and to report any new lesions or ulcerations so that we can quickly treat it before they get out of hand.
Very good. I have a final question to you. Are there support groups that you know of for people who have diabetes?
There are many support groups. Memorial Hospital of Carbondale, Heron Hospital, I know, have active support groups. I know the American Diabetes Association has a healthy, active support group online. There are many local church groups that have support groups. Patients don't have to be alone in this. Once again, like I said, if a patient is his own advocate, then the answers will be real easy.
Don't go it alone. Thank you so, so much,
Dr.
Salem, for being on the program today. I think you've definitely motivated us to see our doctors regularly and be diligent about staying on top of any symptoms related to diabetes. Thanks so much for being on our show.
You're welcome.
That's our program for this week. Please join us again for another edition of Radio SIH. And for more information, you can always go to www.sih.net. Once again, thanks to Dr. Salem for being with us today. I'm Deborah Howell. Thanks for listening. Have a great day. Don't forget, be your own best advocate.